If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it. Throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
All right, we are back with Thompson to Clark, discussing the week that was in Giants baseball about an hour before the Giants play the Philadelphia Phillies. So just an FYI about when we recorded this, we will not have any analysis, predictions, or anything about the Phillies game that is about to start in an hour. So just an FYI. But we are back in a time where, I was kind of wondering. I was a little worried. I was like, are we really going to look like ass against the Oakland A's here?
Well, we did on Friday.
But they were able to bounce back. And, you know, we had actually talked to this last week, which was, you know, I said, hey, go to Arizona and split. Just split and then sweep the A's, and I'll be happy. They did the first part where they split. They won the last two games of the four-gamer against the Diamondbacks. And then they just look like crap in that first game against the Athletics, but the offense bounces back Saturday and Sunday, and the pitching stays on it, and they do win the last two games of that series. So they have a winning week, which is a good thing. But now they have a pretty tough schedule coming up here right before the All-Star break. Phillies, Dodgers, two of the best teams in all of baseball.
I think my question is, would you rather end the first half with that stretch of games as a measuring stick to see who you are? Or would you rather go in, and I'm going to throw these names out there, but they did a number on us. Would you rather go into this, you know, finish the first half facing the Marlins and the White Sox, having them done what they did to us, and then you go into the break like that?
Now give me like six more games with the A's and I'll be happy.
It's got to be in Sacramento though.
Yeah, at the little bandbox out there.
Yeah, that ballpark. I don't know, man. And I'm watching it on TV, and I'm like, you know, of all the ballparks they could have picked, I get that it's close to Oakland, but, you know, they're already shunning the Oakland fans. So, hell, they could have stuck it in Memphis for all we care. I mean, who cares at that point? But I'm looking at that ballpark, and then I go to the Reno Aces ballpark all the time, AAA ballpark here in Reno. And it's fantastic. I think it blows away that Sutter Health Park. I really do. But I haven't been to Sutter Health, so I can't say for sure.
I was waiting for the beer batter announcement. That's what I was waiting for.
And then, remember San Jose Giants games in between innings. Can't remember. It was like the third inning. They'd wheel out the, it was like an ice cream truck. And somebody from the crowd got to pick a player to throw like three baseballs and try to break one of the headlights.
Yes.
I think it was. Some good stuff back then.
because we just mentioned that, I just quickly off tangent. I was thinking about this the other day, because I don't think people realize how many really good players we were able to see come through San Jose.
Yeah,
like I remember when I was a kid, I was a teenager. Griffey Jr. comes through for the San Bernardino Spirit, And he's just playing, and, you know, it's Griffey Jr. He's the number one prospect in all of baseball. And he's just playing here in San Jose, and we're just out there getting autographs with Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Though there's a moment in the game where he's breaking up a double play and just barrel rolls into the Giants second baseman. And then I took his autograph and I scratched it out. F you, Ken Griffey, taking out That's our second right, baseman. Man.
The hell,
oh yeah, there's a lot of great ones to come through. It's a very memorable time as a kid to see like some players who would actually become big leaguers. Like my kids remember this, but we got to see Buster just go oppo doubles like back to back, just easiest swings ever. And I'm just like, can't wait for this guy. He was in A ball. We're like, we just can't wait for this guy to get to the big leagues. You know, I don't think I saw Lincecum though. I'm pretty sure I saw Kane. I'm pretty sure I saw Mad Bum, but I don't think I saw Lincecum. Because I don't think, did he even go to San Jose? Or if he did, it was like for a very short time.
Gosh, I don't even think he did. And I think he might have done like a rehab assignment. And that was the one thing too, is in San Jose, you got guys coming in for rehab assignments, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, because Randy Johnson close to San Francisco. So
yeah, I think Randy Johnson was there for one too. And that was cool. And then when we were broadcasting games, I mean, I remember the Florida Marlins, it was right after draft in 99, they drafted Josh Beckett. And I think we saw his first start. It was in, it was against San Jose, and then we saw Brad Penny for the Dodgers. Gosh, so many guys come through. I'm trying to think of some other names, but I can't at the moment. But you know, that it was fun just to kind of be there and all the rehab assignments and everything else. And we moved out of San Jose in 2003, beginning of 2003. So anything before that, we really didn't, we really didn't have too many, like, superstars going through there, through the Giants organization. It wasn't until after that, the building of the championship teams that you guys got. And I remember you used to take Brian and JJ all the time. And
we used to go there a lot more. It's there, and you go, wow, I would love to see this player play. And then it's just, there's so much stuff to do, and then you just don't do it. I haven't been there.
Oh yeah.
I want to say it's probably been a couple years now. I think we went when who did we draft in the first round who won the College World Series?
Bednar.
Yes, Will Bednar. Yeah. We saw his first start, which I think was like a 2 or 3 inning start. Brian and myself and his buddy Obina. And then I've seen Luciano play. I've seen Matos play. But yeah, it's been a while. I need to get back there.
Yeah. Well, and then like here in Reno, I talk about it all the time. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to some more games. And then you just don't get out there. And I mean,
didn't Luciano go nuts in Reno?
He did. And I always tell people, temper your expectations when guys come here and hit home runs. Because Matos, I'm pretty sure Matos, more than 50%, and I'm not joking, if you look it up, more than 50% of his AAA home runs last year were in Reno. I think he hit something like 11 or 12 here in Reno. And he doesn't play for Reno, but anytime they pass through,
he loves it.
Yeah, he was hitting bombs. And then Chapman was here the other night, Matt Chapman, on a rehab assignment. Hunter Pence was here a few years back. Saw Lincecum pitch for the Salt Lake City Bees when he signed with Anaheim, and he was just trying to get some innings in before he joined the big club. So, it's just a minor league. If you can support a minor league team and you've got a minor league ballpark around you, speaking of, if you live in West Sac, you could go to a minor league ballpark and watch major league teams, which is really weird. But
yeah, it's completely weird. I can't believe that Major League Baseball is just okay with this. Like, imagine, like, you know, you were in the business of creating new fans, and Major League Baseball is like, oh yeah, you can play out of this 12,000 seat minor league ballpark. And, you know, imagine Aaron Judge is like, I mean, maybe for him, he's like, oh, I only have to sneeze and I can hit the ball over the fence here. But still, it's like, you know, these guys are used to, you know, clubhouses and locker rooms. It's like, it's kind of embarrassing, I think, for Major League Baseball to allow this to happen.
And I think the frustrating thing too is, you know, they claim it's so hot. So all three of the games against the A's this weekend were 7:05 starts, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is super weird. But then in Reno here, it's hotter, less humidity, No wind yesterday, and it was like 93 degrees when the game started, and they play a 4 o'clock game. All of our Sunday games are 4 o'clock. All of our Saturday games are 6 o'clock. But early in the season we have, 1 o'clock games or whatnot. So I don't know. The whole thing's just kind of, I would imagine. And I know Cole and, Alex talked about this today, on their podcast maybe they go to the Players Association after this season and they're like, hey guys, let's, fix some of this, move us, do something different, because how are you going to play three more years there? It's kind of a joke at this
point.
It's
terrible.
Either that or Major League Baseball puts in a ton of money in the offseason, in the next two offseasons, and make it a Major League type of park, and then Sacramento can vie for an expansion team. But again, if Oakland couldn't hold an expansion team, can Sacramento? I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is just kind of a mess. And we knew that from the start, when they said they were going to do all this, we figured, how the hell are they going to do all this? And now we see.
Speaking of Alex Pavlovich, he's got a book coming out on tomorrow, like Wednesday, technically. But if you pre-order it on your Kindle, which is what I like to do, you get it at like Tuesday night at 9 p.m. our time, because it releases at midnight. So that is a book that I'm going to try and get through pretty quickly, because I am a sucker for like my favorite teams and like the history of the organizations. And that's what it is. It's called The Franchise, A Curated History of the Orange and Black. And so I can't wait to read that. I hope it does well for Alex, who is doing the rounds, I see, and talking about it. So I'm looking forward to reading that.
What's pretty exciting about that is that he's a Cupertino High School grad, and just to have a fellow Cupertino High School grad, knowing that we can read and write is pretty awesome. So I'm happy about that.
I don't know. My stepkids and their friends, it's kind of going to Cupertino High School. Give me a little work. No, my stepkids are fine. Some of their friends are a little interesting. But
well, this was 34 years ago.
They're just kids. They're just kids. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the news. Like, we just spent the first 10 minutes goofing off, really, for us. But
baseball, though,
Eric Miller goes to the DL. Whenever you hear like elbow anything, you kind of get worried. Yeah. And it sounds like they are not actually that worried right now. At least I read over the weekend. So hopefully things are well with him, because if they're not well, then it's all about Luke Casey, and they picked up Scott Alexander. They recently picked up. Miller's, even without really his great stuff, he's still pitching pretty well. So hope that he gets back and he's healthy and they can get by with the one or two lefty situation like they have. But the big news for the offense, at least, is that Matt Chapman and Casey Schmidt are both back, which means poor Fitzy, who got gifted a home run last night against the Athletics. Fitzy's back. They left. They told him to just stay in SAC, hang out.
You think he was running to the doors of the bus and they just kind of slowly close it and they're like, I'm sorry to tell you.
So you know what's fascinating about this, right? Baseball, with the way that you can send players down and how many times, and we're just so used to this. In other sports, football's maybe the hardest one as far as being so cutthroat. You can wave players left and right for like almost no reason whatsoever. And the Golden State Valkyries, they had a player who was playing overseas in a special FIBA tournament. So she started the season with the team, fan favorite, great attitude, easy to root for. Then she goes to Europe to play in this tournament for Belgium. They win the actual Eurobasket, and she's about to come back. And when she comes back, they cut her. And, the Valkyrie is a very new fan base, obviously. The WNBA is a new-ish league. They have not been around for that long. 1997 or something like that is their first year. And the fan base was livid. Like, how can you have this woman fly back all the way. And then when she gets here, then you tell her that she's not on the team anymore. And like, I get it. Like that is a cutthroat scenario.
Yeah.
But this is sports, right? And so for Fitzy, we kind of joke about it because it's just kind of what happens in baseball. But it's got to be disappointing for him. He was expected to be the guy playing second base every day. He had that, you know, he turned into Don Mattingly for like a week last year and just getting crazy bombs. And, you know, one thing that we kept on saying last year is like, okay, I like the way he's hitting, but at some point, the second go round, they're going to actually have some video on him and some footage on him, and they're going to figure out what his weaknesses are. And that's the differentiation between, you know, who becomes an everyday player and who doesn't. It's like there's levels to the whole thing. And Fitzy, I don't know if going to Sacramento is going to help him or if he needs more reps or whatever it is, but it did help Ramos, right? Ramos had to go through that period of up and back and down and not make the team out of spring training. And he has become the everyday left fielder, though if he keeps misplaying balls out there, they may turn him into a DH. Yeah. But so, you know, hopefully Fitzy gets what he needs because I like him on the roster more than some of those other guys because he has the element of speed that those other guys like Wisely and Koss and Schmidt, who is going to be, I imagine, is going to be playing a lot of second base. They don't have that. But if you can't hit and you're striking out all the time, then, yeah, the speed's not really doing much because you're not getting on base.
Yeah, that's right. And he has struck out 62 times in 222 plate appearances this year. That's a lot. Walked, what is he, walked 15 times in those 222 plate appearances. So those numbers are really skewed poorly for him. 227 batting average. And like you said, if you're not getting on base, he's got 9 stolen bases this year. You know, if he's a 280 hitter who walks more, maybe he's got 30 stolen bases at this point. He's helping the team. But when your help for the team is speed and you're just not there for that, I mean, it's kind of just an invaluable player, which is unfortunate because we love him. I mean, going into the offseason, we were super excited. You know, we talked a lot about him. He's going to be a big part of this ball club. He's going to be the starting second baseman. Tyro Estrada was gone, and it was kind of his job to take. And now Casey Schmidt stepped in, showed what he could do in June. And when Chapman went down, he kind of won the second base job by playing third base and hitting the crap out of the ball. So, I mean, that's just baseball. And you got to put your best 9 guys out on the field, and you got to put them in and day out because hitting is contagious, winning is contagious. And, you know, you can be patient with guys if you're scoring 7-8 runs a game, but the Giants are not that team. The Giants are a team that scores 2-4 runs a game. And so if you've got a guy who could potentially hit the ball out of the ballpark and another guy who can't get on base, it's not at all a difficult decision.
I was talking to my buddy who's a Blue Jays fan, and I looked at, you know, the Blue Jays are actually leading the American League East. If you're a Blue Jays fan, you're ecstatic. So
yeah,
you know, I kind of poured a little cold water on that. And like, I didn't do it purposely to ruin their day, but I was like,
yeah,
I was looking at the numbers because I was preparing for this, and I was looking at our numbers, and I was like, oh wow, the Blue Jays have scored 412 runs and they've given up 400 runs. So they only have a run differential of 12. Mm. And so I was saying to him, like, yeah, like what's great about your team is that you guys score runs. The thing that would scare me is that you guys give up a lot of runs. And so he was, you know, because I rained on his parade there a little bit, he was a little bummed out. But then he said, look, you know, I don't like run differential. And he gave me the reasons why. And I was like, yeah, like run differential isn't the end all be all. I just look at it to see which teams are real to me and which teams aren't. And that one gave me a little bit of a pause. But in looking at our run differential, because we are not a plus 12, we're actually still in the plus 30s. I just thought, I was like, you know what? If the pitching ever stops being as good as it is, it's curtains for the Giants because they just still can't score any runs. And so I was thinking about this because the title on the slate of this show is, you know, is a turnaround coming for the Giants. You know, they went through a horrible period, and last week, you know, at least they were one game above 500 for the week. And now they go Dodgers and Phillies, which if we split, I guess you can't split because it's seven games, but if you're 4-3, I'm ecstatic, right? Because those are two really good baseball teams, though the Dodgers did get swept against the Astros.
Well, and then they're losing 5-0 last time I looked today to Milwaukee.
Love it.
So they're hitting the skids.
Keep that. You know, the Dodgers are the – so I'm kind of when I was doing this exercise, I was looking at the teams who had given up at least 400 runs and who are in the mix for the playoffs.
Yeah.
The only two teams who've given up more than 400 runs who are actually contenders, the Blue Jays, who are right at 400, and the Dodgers. The Dodgers have given up more than 400 runs. Except they've also scored 500 runs. That's why, like, no one is like them and the Cubs are like the two highest scoring offenses. So, it's just, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches, and you just kind of hope that there's a small little, you know, chinks in the armor where you can take advantage of it because the Dodgers got swept and we only gained one game over them. The weekend.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So here was my thought exercise, you know, which was, how have the Giants fared in the last, I looked at the last two Bochy seasons, so 18 and 19. I skipped 20 because of the pandemic. And I skipped 21 because that is a complete outlier because they were so good that year. And so I added 22, 23, 24. And I wanted to see where the Giants were after 100 games. Now, currently right now, they're at 91 games. So they still have 9 more games to get to 100. But I wanted to use that sweet spot of 100, mostly because it would be easier for me to do math. So after 100 games in 2018... they were 51-49. 2019, 50-50. 2022, 49-51. 2023, 54-46. And that's the biggest heartbreaker of them all. Because in 2023, all they had to do was win they go 31-31 to end the season. They would have made the playoffs. They did not.
Yeah.
They went 25-37. And in 2024, they were 48-52 at 100 games. And then I looked at how many wins it took to make the third wild card, which it's only been in existence for 3 years prior. So we only have 3 years of data for that. 89, 84, and 89. So let's say that the Giants probably need to be in the high 80s range this year to win one of those three wild card spots. And so what is it going to take for them to do that? Right now they are, what is their record right now? 49-41, I believe, is their record. So what do they have to do for the second half of the season? I don't think that they can go 500 for the rest of the season and expect to be in the mix. I think they have to play several games above 500. Now, what does that mean? Well, in those 5 years that I looked at, there were only two of those years where they were even over 500 for the last 62 games of the season. That was Caps second to last year, so 2022. They were 32 and 30 down the stretch. And last year, they were 32 and 30 down the stretch for the last 62 games of the season. I'm going to guess they're going to probably need to win in the range of like 34 or 35 games over those last 62. Now, we'll see what happens. I'm assuming that they will kind of play 500 for these close to 500 for these last nine games and kind of be where they are, where they're currently eight games above 500 or seven games above 500. But I don't think we're going to be able to play 500 ball. And that has kind of been the hope the last couple seasons, is like, if we play 500 ball, we are in the mix. And in the years where they could have played 500 ball and been in the mix, they died. They fell off the table. Yeah. And in the years where they needed to play several games above 500, they were too close to 500. So I said all of those things to basically ask you, do you think, as the team is currently constructed, that they are built to go on a run after the All-Star break? Because I think they've only had one winning month so far in the whole season, right? Which is the March-April timeframe.
Right.
And so are they going to be able to reverse trend for July, August, September, which is what it's going to take for them to win one of those three wildcard spots?
You know, that's a tough one. I'm going to look at the schedule. I'm going to cheat a little bit by looking at the schedule. You come out of the All-Star break and you've got teams like the Blue Jays we just talked about, first place Blue Jays, got the Braves, the Mets who are scuffling. Then you got the Pirates, Mets again, Pirates again, Nats. Then you don't get back to the National League West until like mid-August. And then you got Padres, Rays, Padres, Brewers, Cubs, O's. You know, looking at it, I think this team can, the way it's constructed now, the only thing I worry about, and this is funny, the only thing I worry about is starting pitching. The way this team is constructed right now, and that's because the Giants have, you know, two aces. You got Logan Webb, you got Robbie Ray, and then you've got Landon Roop, who has never pitched this much, who's also pitching really well. And then after that, you don't have a Kyle Harrison to fall back on. He's gone. You got Verlander, we're going to talk about later, who's just not Verlander. And, you know, he should be in a walker somewhere just cruising around the retirement home. And then you've just got a bunch of young guys to lean on. And so, I mean, as it's constructed now, I can see the offense catching fire and carrying this team more than I can see the starting pitching
being as good as they've been.
being as good as they've been and carry this team on their back to the playoffs. So I think it all basically banks on the hitting right now. If a healthy Chapman, Casey Schmidt continues doing what he's doing, Devers gets comfortable, Willie Adames is coming around, Elliot Ramos is Ramos. I mean, if all those guys are hitting the rest of the season in this nice, warm summer air, and you can bust out and finish five games over 500 because of your offense in the second half, yeah, this is a playoff team. But as it's constructed now, I worry.
Yeah.
And I didn't answer your question. I don't know. Yes, no. I'm going to go with as it's constructed now. No, because they need starting pitching, and they need another bullpen piece too.
They need another bullpen piece. You're right. I looked at Hayden Birdsong's numbers for June. ERA over six for the young bird dog there.
Yeah, he's another one. I mean, he's struggling hard right now. Won the game last night.
Yeah.
Want to give up one hit, one run, and walked five. So that's, I mean, you do that against a good team when you're not giving up one run and you're not giving up one hit either, probably.
Yeah. So there, we'll talk about the Verlander piece a little bit later, but you kind of wonder about that. Can they keep running him out there to be, because he, if not, you know, that was the Friday game, right? He gets hit immediately, gives up like quick five, and they're with that offense, that's pretty much signifies that the game is over by the second or third inning. And then you have two young pitchers who are going to be inconsistent more than likely down the stretch. So you're banking on Webb and Ray, and it is who can they get a third person. Now, I don't know if you can trade for a third starting pitcher. Maybe Buster is looking for one, but they also need bullpen arms because you're utilizing that bullpen. The bullpen has been really good, and you've had two lights out right-handed arms in Randy Rodriguez and Tyler Rogers. Doval, I think, gives people a nervous stomach there, and I think we've all given up on Ryan Walker as far as pitching in close innings. So if you can rely on Randy Rodriguez, who, again, is only 25, and he, you know, they're counting on him. He made the All-Star team, which we'll talk about in a second. Tyler Rogers is about as trustworthy as you can get. And so I think we probably even take him for granted a little bit. And, yeah, they're going to need another left-handed arm. We talked about the Miller thing. So Buster has his work cut out for him because – if you ask Giants fans, oh, we need more hitting, and I agree. Now, if Willy Adames does break out of this insane slump, and Jung-Hoo Lee probably can't get any worse than hitting 143 in June, those guys, if they just come back to average or median, then you're improving the offense there. If you get some offense out of Casey Schmidt over Tyler Fitzgerald, you're improving the offense there.
Yeah,
and so hopefully that just improves it just by existing and kind of getting back to the middle. But yeah, I think most Giants fans would say, yeah, we would love another bat, right? We are so we have a lot of the same types of players sitting there in the middle of the lineup. Could we get more athletic? That is the thing that you and I have been looking at, and we kind of looked at the guys who are on the trading block. And there's not many,
no.
Yeah, Buster's got his work cut out for him because I could say in a perfect world, you get another bat, and you get a veteran arm, and then you get some left side help in the bullpen, then you're kind of golden. But maybe Buster thinks, well, Verlander is that guy, and he's going to bounce back, and that's who you're that's who you would try to trade for. So there's lots of interesting things to look at, and you know we're a good, you know, we're only 55% of the way through the season or whatever that number is. But I think it's a good sample size to look at and go, okay, are they really that good? Is there some smoke and mirrors? Yeah, the pitching has been excellent. And you would like to see Buster chase it a little bit. I just don't know who they would be willing to give up. And, you know, Bryce Eldridge had been hurt. Marco Luciano, like we said, kind of caught fire. Does that mean that he's a tradable person? When I was talking to Jarrett didn't think that Luciano had much trade value whatsoever. So interesting time because the All-Star break kind of signifies for us like, okay, are we in or are we out? I think they're in, you know, as long as they don't go 0-7 against or 0-6 against the Phillies and Dodgers. I think they're in. And if they're in, then we will probably see some pretty fun baseball over the next 3 months.
I think the big question is, you know, you kind of look at it and you say, this team is a little bit ahead of a rebuild. I mean, not a rebuild. This team doesn't talk about rebuilds. The San Francisco Giants do not talk about rebuilds. It's a bad word in the organization. It's not who they are. It's not what they do. But we know as fans, this was not an expected. You don't go from 500 to boom, you're a playoff team because you added Willy Adames and Justin Verlander. And then all of a sudden, the young guys are just, you know, way better than they were last year. Well, we've seen the regression with Tyler Fitzgerald we just talked about. You've seen the you know, the same you're getting out of Elliot Ramos, which is fantastic. But you haven't seen much else anywhere else, and Adames is finally starting to catch fire. So you have to look and say, as Buster Posey, does he want to mortgage some of the future, some future pieces to go for it and get into the playoffs and then, you know, kind of go from there and see where you're at next year. But if you're ahead of schedule and you think you can afford it and you got Devers. So I know a lot of people are going to be saying in the offseason, what are we going to do? Who are we going to go get? We got Devers. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of offseason moves after that. I mean, maybe you're looking at starting pitching. Maybe you're looking at bullpen. Maybe you're looking at, I don't know, first baseman, but you got Eldridge coming up. Maybe you're looking at a right fielder because Yaz is out of contract. But you're not going to get like a gigantic move, I don't think, this offseason. So do you make that move going to the trade deadline here? Even, you know, if you think you're ahead of schedule, but you think you can make some noise in the playoffs and not just get in. And remember the wild card, if you're one of the lower wild cards, you go to the other team and you play 2 out of 3 in that ballpark.
Yeah.
On the road, 2 out of 3. So, and with our pitching, that's not bad. If you line up Webb and Robbie Ray, that you've got a chance. But you really got to think you have more than a chance to get past like the first and second round.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the All-Star scenario, because I think if you look at the three All-Stars that the Giants got, it kind of describes what their season has been.
Yeah.
You had Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, and Randy Rodriguez all making the All-Star team, all deserving. Rodriguez makes it not even being a closer. And it kind of makes you wonder, should he be the closer? He's pitching. Yeah. He's pitching eighth innings. Camilo Duvall is still up and down. There's some situations where he's lights out, and there's others where it's like, oh, the same Camilo from last year. But Randy Rodriguez was quite a surprise and a delight that he made that team. And I guess it's all thanks to this sweeper that Ryan Walker taught him how to throw. As to why he feels like he's been so much better this year. But yeah, what'd you think about the whole thing? Like, it makes sense, I guess, that, you know, when you're such a bad offensive team that you don't get an offensive all-star and it's all pitching.
Yeah. And there's still injuries, you know, Corbin Carroll got elected. I don't know if he's going to play because he's still not back yet. So there's going to be a replacement for him. You know, pitchers aren't going to be eligible, so there's going to be more pitchers. So does Tyler Rogers get in? I hope so, because I keep talking about it. I really, really, really want to see Tyler Rogers face the, you know, 3, 4, 5 hitters for the American League Ball Club late in the game. I think that'd be pretty fantastic. But yeah, it's kind of what we thought for the most part. I think we tried to predict All-Stars earlier in the season. I think we talked about Ramos. We talked about maybe Adamas. It's always next year, Adamas. You start out hot and we can get you in the All-Star game. But yeah, it's and you know, just a quick thing on the closing situation. It's kind of hard because you made so many closing, you know, so many closer changes since August of last year, August of 2024, you made the change from Duvall to Walker, and then you go into the season with Walker, and then you go Walker to Duvall, and Duvall's the guy now, and yeah. Then you go Duvall to Rodriguez. I don't know. What kind of message is that sending to your bullpen? We're not quick to stick with one guy to be the closer, but hey, the message is we're trying to win ball games.
Yeah.
We're trying to throw out the guy who is going to give us the best chance to close out a ball game and win this thing and keep us in the hunt. So if you're not doing it, then you're going to get moved out of that role and somebody else is going to be given that shot. But to see Randy Rodriguez in there, I'm anxious to see what type of situation he comes into in the All-Star game. It's going to be kind of fun to watch. Was it last year or the year before? I think it was 2 years ago when Duvall struck out Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And that was a fun at bat. So hoping to see another one of those. And then, I mean, Webb or Robbie Ray, I don't know if either one is going to be eligible. You know how it goes. They don't.
Yeah. It sounds like Ray is more than likely not going to be able to pitch. So,
yeah. So if you can lose him and then bring in Tyler Rogers, God, I mean, the country would go nuts. They'd see this guy and they're like, what's happening? I mean, people who've never seen him before, it would be fantastic for the game. And so that's what this is. It's an exhibition game. It's fun. It's to show, you know, all the quirkiness of baseball, which is super a weird game to begin with. So I'd love to see that. But great picks. I mean, it was so nice to see three pitchers and that's who we are right now. So, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about something that we've been doing this year. Players of the month. So we've been doing a pitcher and hitter of the month and also kind of a surprise or unsung person who's been playing well. And Brad has the hitters this month and I have the pitchers. So why don't you take it away for June?
Yeah, I thought this was going to be tough. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I was like, our hitters have been doing nothing. How am I going to pick a hitter of the month? It's going to have to be the bat boy. But, you know, it ended up being I went with a guy who really came on, then got hurt. I could have gone with another guy who really came on and got hurt also. But I went with Casey Schmidt as our hitter of the month for the month of June. Casey Schmidt hit .333 on the month in 20 games. He only played, six less games than anybody else because of the injury and because Chapman got hurt in early June. But Casey Schmidt, .333 on the month, OPS of over .950. And his walk rate was around 10%, which is nice to see him get on base. K rate was pretty normal for the rest of the team, 24.6%. Did have 4 home runs, 12 RBIs. That's second most on the month. The first most on the month was Elliot Ramos. Ramos only hit .240, though, and his OPS was around, you know, 700, yeah, low 700. But Casey Schmidt was the guy. And then filling it in the defense also at third base when we lost Chapman, it was nice to have a guy over there who could be, I mean, if he played every day, he could be a potential Gold Glove third baseman. He could be in the running for it. I don't know if he'd win it, but he could definitely be in the running for it. So you didn't lose a ton of defense over there. I mean, nobody is like Chapman, but it wasn't a huge drop off as it was when Casey Schmidt went down and we went to Brett Wisely and Wilmer Flores at third base. That was a little bit rough. So now that we got Chapman and Schmidt back starting tonight, it's good to have that defense around there. So Casey Schmidt is our hitter of the month for June.
I'll go pitcher. Like, this one was actually really easy. You know, it's kind of hard. It's kind of you're just like, do I just pick Logan Webb like every time?
He's it, man. That's why I did the unsung, because we always have a guy who's like, I kind of like this guy. I like what he did.
And, you know, I just like, oh, what did Robbie Ray do? And it's like, nope, it's Logan Webb. He was 2-1 on the month, 2.23 ERA. He threw 12 more innings than Robbie Ray did this month. And then also he threw almost 15 more innings than the person who was in third for the month with most innings, which who was Landon Roop. Just the guy just battles. The Giants have a chance to win every single time he pitches. Even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he is able to stay competitive. His strikeout rate is still up from what it's been. He doesn't walk a ton of guys. They just give him the ball and you're like, great. If Logan's pitching, we got a chance. So easy one for me, for him. And, you know, and that comes off of the idea that the Giants have a really good bullpen, and it still was an easy pick for Logan Webb.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go unsung hitter of the month of June, and it's going to be Willy Adames. I know he's doing damage here in July, but it started June 10th in Colorado. He hit the home run. And then he had a fantastic series, and he hasn't cooled down since. Even with that, though, he's only hitting .216 in the month of June, but he scored 15 runs. That's the most out of anybody on the club. So he's getting on base. He's got a 13.2% walk rate. That's the best on the team of anybody who's played, you know, 20 plus games in the month of June. His K rate still hasn't climbed a ton. It's 27.4%. It's actually come down from where he was earlier in the season. His OPS in the month of June was, I'm doing math in my head here, so hang on a second, about 650. And then 11 RBI, so he is driving in runs, stole a base. So I'm giving him the unsung hitter of the month of June because, again, he is the big prize get in the offseason. The Giants really needed him to start hitting. He is the rah-rah guy. He is the dugout and the clubhouse guy. But they needed him to be more. They didn't pay him just to do that. They needed him to be more than that. And the fact that he is doing that, it really starts to get contagious with the rest of the hitters. And you saw what the Giants could do once they left Chicago and went into Oakland, West Sacramento. Put some runs on the boards and started doing their thing. So let's hope it carries over into this Philly and Dodgers series. But that's our unsung hitter of the month of June.
The pitching one for me was it was either going to be Rodgers or Rodriguez. And, you know, it's these guys are unsung by nature because of the innings in which they pitch. They don't get those save statistics. They don't get that big money. And in order to get that big money, they do have to become closers. But these guys have been so good. And I was like, oh, I want to see how close was Rodgers and Rodriguez. They were kind of close, but Rodriguez was just that much better. 0.82 ERA in 11 innings, only gave up six hits, only gave up one earned run, 16 strikeouts. Rodgers was 14.2 innings, 8 strikeouts. Gives up a lot of soft contact, so some of those things fall in. But both you couldn't go wrong with either guy, but it's got to be Rodriguez. Yeah. He's just been lights out. And, you know, at some point, he's not going to be unsung because it's going to be expected, especially if he moves into that closer role, which more eyeballs on him, bigger bullseye on him. I'd love to see him get that opportunity. Maybe it's too early, but if Duvall's not consistent enough, why not try the 25-year-old? Is he might actually be older than Duvall. I actually don't know how old Duvall is, but they're probably close in age. But why not? Because he's been the best guy in the bullpen all year long. You might as well give him a shot. Or I'd actually be comfortable with Rodgers moving into the ninth as well. So either of those guys, I'd be probably a little bit more comfortable than with Duvall currently.
I think Randy Rodriguez is 25. And why does Duvall not have an age?
He's ageless.
He's ageless. Oh, there we go. I got to hit the more button. All right. He's 27. So, yeah. Okay. So, Randy Rodriguez is 2 years younger. And you have a vested interest. You want to see Randy Rodriguez be the closer because you got him on your fantasy team. You're just waiting.
I did pick him up.
Waiting in the wings.
So, let's end this show with the quickest take, which is our new segment where we will throw it up on the YouTube shorts and the Instagram reels, all the socials. And the quickest take for this week is, how long do you keep running Justin Verlander out there? I will let you go first.
I mean, honestly, this is not between us. This is not our decision. This is between two potential Hall of Famers. And that's between Verlander and Buster. Whatever they decide, whatever they talked about in the offseason, whatever they decide is what's going to happen. And I think, I don't think Verlander is the type of guy who's going to sit back and say, hey, go ahead and take me out of the rotation. Let somebody else give a shot. He's going to keep fighting. But when you look at his Baseball Savant page and you look at the last time he pitched healthy in 2023, there was a lot of red, and red is good on Baseball Savant if you've ever been there. There's some blue. There's a lot of red. You look at it now. There's no red. There's one red, off-speed run value. Everything else is blue. I don't think that's coming back around. For me, the experiment's over. But the big question is, we talked about this earlier, who is going to take his spot in the rotation right now?
Yeah.
And there isn't anybody. And do you trade him to a contender? Well, the Giants are contenders right now. So how do you move on from Justin Verlander? It really has to be a mutual decision between him and Buster Posey. I don't think that's going to be a thing this year. Is he a viable number five? Sure, he's a viable number five, but you also have to have a number three and four you can fully rely on, and that's got to be Roop and somebody else. And Roop, like we said, hasn't pitched this many innings, and who's the number four? So that's kind of where we're at right now.
I'm with you. I think Verlander is going to be with us unless he gets hurt. Or I don't know. I don't think he's currently hurt, but you know how it is with pitchers. You can always be hurt and still keep working.
They're like cats.
I think he's going to be with us for exactly the reason you said, though. I think a dark horse. I wonder if we see Wisenhunt come in and pitch some middle innings to see, just to get his feet wet. But if you do replace Verlander, it's going to be with another rookie, because that's the guy that's kind of waiting in the wings. And you don't want to have three rookies heading into the postseason, or three young pitchers like that. What you want is for Verlander to work through whatever the situation is and come out on top. So I'm with you. I think he's going to be with us because there's nowhere for him to go. And there's nobody waiting in line to replace him unless they are able to make a trade. And then you make a smaller trade with Verlander on the side. But if you make a trade, then it is probably to keep more veteran arms who have had playoff experience on your staff than to have less. So I imagine that whatever this season is going to be for Verlander, we are probably going to see it all the way through as long as he stays healthy. So, all right, that is going to be it from here. So good luck to the team this week. They're going to need it, Philadelphia and L.A. And let's hope that the Dodgers can kind of stay in a little bit of a funk. It'd be nice for once for them to be in a funk when we play them.
Yeah, I think Glass now is back, but he pitches tomorrow, which is Tuesday. So we might see him Sunday. It's possible. So who knows?
All righty. So that is it from here. For Brad, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.